Good morning. Let's stand. The call of worship is sing hallelujah to the Lord. Let's stand. Words of Life, 600. This morning, welcome to the fellowship of Christ. We are His body assembled. We are gathered together to function each in our places according to our gifts and according to the gifts of grace He pours out so freely upon us. And in that, we will experience Christ manifest in our midst through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are excited. We know that you will encounter God today, maybe in ways you didn't foresee when you got up this morning. We anticipate God blessing us with His presence today. So, welcome. We want to take time now. If you have a heart that's brimming with a word of thanks or testimony to God, we definitely need to hear it this morning. We're not all in the same place. Testimony helps get us there. All right? Who has a word to share this morning?
Sister, my son, she sounded lots better.
Alice?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We give God thanks for that. Terry?
I just want to say some things to you. Every week, somebody goes out of their way to make a difference for kids or to make a difference for another. As Christians, we're all called to find a way to bring others to Christ. In my old Sunday school class, I used food. In 1993, when I walked into this church, Mary Finch had me at the back door. And I told them about what I have to offer is sports and food. And I used that in any way possible to teach people about Christ and to tell them about Jesus. And my perfect offering. But every day, each one of you has an opportunity to do something, to tell somebody about Jesus. What are you willing to do? When I started talking to Mary, and I told him how I'm going to do things, he said, how in the world are we going to pay for it? And I said, what do you mean, wait? He said, I'm in, 100%. I said, God's going to pay for it if you give him a chance. He never could get that for a while. And about 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. He says, why don't you come by the house? I got some money for it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I sold the world for hay, and I want to give you half the money for the kids. Then, maybe 3 or 4 months later, he got to come by the house. I sold a bush off, and I'm going to give you some money for his kid. But 2 weeks before he died, he was still there. I got something for you. I want you to use for his kid. A life of testimony, of faithfulness. He didn't want any recognition. He didn't want to do anything but God bring us to Christ. His son was in the youth group when we first got here, Eric. Which now we see Eric, and he does things like, I got a raise. I'm going to give more of my time. Those things don't happen by accident. They send their parents to it, they send their grandparents to it. And each one of you has a chance to make a difference. Marion told a lot of people in this church about what we're doing. And a lot of you come and say, here's some money, use it for those kids. Because Marion isn't here, that doesn't need to stop. It needs to increase. Everybody here can make a difference. Everyone.
Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so good and skilled at criticizing the way people are going about doing things. You just want to walk up to them and say, just exactly who did you share Christ with this week? If you're going to criticize everybody's methods and means for sharing Jesus, maybe you need to take a hard look at yourself. Before we criticize or pick somebody out for scorn or ridicule, let us remember, if they're sharing Jesus, if they're bringing people to the Lord, God will use every resource at his disposal for them and leave you behind, little poor little pauper in spirit. So keep that in mind. Other praises, Flo?
Well, in the same spirit of that, there's another ministry too in which you can share the love of Christ through food, and that is Bubble Meals. They always are in need of people who can deliver. So we've been doing it for 25 years. You won't find anything else that's any better than visiting people, giving them food, but more than that, testifying to Christ.
Okay, thank you, Flo. Other praise this morning. Mark?
It's good to hear the organ playing again.
Amen. Thank you.
Get ready, you're not going to hear it for a while. Joy?
Tomorrow's our 41st anniversary.
Huh?
Tomorrow's our 41st
anniversary. It is. It is our 41st anniversary tomorrow. Nice reminder. Dean?
Yeah, I had my first eye surgery Friday. It went well. Now we got one more to go.
Amen. He's knocking them out. So y'all fix up a little prettier if you sit around him. Jim?
Well, thank you for praying for me. I had the COVID a couple of weeks ago and got through it all. But I didn't realize y'all's 41st because ours is 42.
Wow.
Right there, man.
Well.
I'm extremely happy my marriage. I'm a little program.
Yeah, we could have a discussion about that, but if I start not being able to stand up straight today, it'll be because I've been trained too.
I have a new name, Nurse Ratchet.
I got a few names too. Somebody praise the Lord this morning. What's God been doing for you? I know he was at the Presbyterian Church.
Well, I may surprise y'all to be that early as you think.
Well, we'll try to behave till you get back. What about our concerns this week? Who are we praying for? Oh, Anna?
Praying for her knee surgery tomorrow.
Upcoming knee surgery. Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
7:30 a.m. She has to be there at 5:30.
That's a HIPAA violation, Anna. Be quiet. Other prayer concerns. Kevin?
I was going to ask your mother for tomorrow, but it's going to be probably a pretty tough journey for a little short term.
Yeah.
Also, we prayed for Bailey. She tested positive for COVID yesterday, and I went to see her there and all, so her and the boys as well. So pray for their whole house.
So Bailey?
Bailey
with COVID. Okay, thank you. We've had some little blooms of COVID around this past couple of weeks. Is that Savannah?
Yeah. Continue to pray for Dad in your prayers. His creatinine level has gone down because he has done now 3 rounds of dialysis. I'm not too sure how they're going to continue with his dialysis treatments. I think they're kind of giving his body a break to see how it reacts, his kidneys react. He technically is still in kidney failure, so those toxins aren't being flushed out properly. So he is kind of in and out of it. You know, he can have a conversation with us, and then he'll kind of nod off. Yesterday, he thought he was talking to Coach Cash. Don't even know who Coach Cash is. You know, it's just those toxins in him. I mean, it's, you know, but he seems to be sleeping okay. He seems to be in good spirits. He's having good days, he's having bad days.
Thank you.
He is still in the hospital though, and they're not sure of a discharge date, so it's gone 2 weeks now.
We're trusting for complete healing for John. We're believing that God is going to touch and restore his renal function through his kidneys, and we pray every day that God is purging what needs to be purged so that John can be restored to us and to ministry. Are there other? Anil?
Continuing prayers for our sister Alice. She's getting stronger, but she's still very
Alice strong. Cooper continues to need our prayer. Okay. Anna?
Same travels for Dylan Evans today.
Dylan Evans?
Going back
to. Okay. Thank you. We continue to request prayer for those families and those who are grieving the loss of both Marion Finch and Lois Johnson this morning. Who else? There was a big earthquake. Was it Morocco?
Yeah.
Let's remember the loss that has caused in that region. Let's remember those folks as they struggle to recover from that. The hurricane, the approaching hurricane, yes, let's pray concerning that as well. Are we ready to pray? All right, let's go talk to the Lord. Father, you reveal yourself to us by your grace. In that dawning awareness we have, we feel as though we've discovered everything life is about. And then coming to know you through the forgiveness of sin, we realize that Jesus is the fulfillment, is the life itself. Claiming to be the life, claiming to be resurrection. Lord, we lean into you this morning with gratitude, with extreme joy, and deep inner excitement. As We feel passionately towards you, God, for all the many ways we have been able to point to and chart and track as you have guided us individually and as a people through very turbulent times. And there has been joy, Lord. There has been extreme joy. And there have been difficult days and tears. And yet we are alive. And more than that, we feel you beckoning us forward to learn more in our praise of you, to give more of ourselves, and to express that which we've never found words for, seeking to deepen our experience of worship, to acknowledge and receive our calling, to accept your good gifts, to be empowered for service. And God, in this service today, to have you manifest your presence, as it were in a lightning bolt, or if it was in a whisper. God, we pray that your revelation of yourself will come to us through your word today. And that you call the plays, Lord. That you take hold of this service. Holy Spirit, come into this space to wrest control from us, so that God may be worshipped. We pray that you will help us by setting aside every plan, every objective and goal, and guide us in the days to come. Help us stay humble before you. Remind us of our weakness. And let us rejoice in your strength. God, you heard our concerns. Each one specific. Each one critical. And as you have promised and covenanted with us to work with us in healing, we hold these before you, Lord. As friends lift people into the presence of Jesus, so now we lift them. And we lift our own private concerns to you, trusting in you as a good, good Father. And now, Lord, let your anointing remain. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in this service. Direct our prayer, even as we pray in the model that Jesus gave us, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So we'll take time for a moment to share some announcements. I want to remind you that our Bible study, we are studying the Nicene Creed through the Catechism and getting some eye-popping moments through that. And we're enjoying the struggle and the conversation with the words and what is meant there. We encourage you to join us as we follow the Scriptures in studying. We want to remind you, too, that we're here on Thursday nights in a very informal fashion. Sometimes we have music and extended worship. Other times we just pray, but you're invited to come as you are and use any particular kind of expression in prayer that you want to and leave when we're ready, when we're done. Homecoming is slated for the 24th. Brenda, jump up there.
I have a sign-up sheet. I'll pass around today and next Sunday. And also, if you can think of anybody that you miss seeing in church that you haven't seen in a while, call them, invite them to come. If you have any new neighbors, friends, bring them, show them how friendly we are and how well we do.
Thank you. Mike?
I've got one too. Next Sunday, the Administrative Council will meet at 6 o'clock. Should be a relatively brief meeting. Next Sunday, 6 o'clock.
We need to get a meeting in order to address issues around the children's ministry establishing. You have voted and decided months ago to establish and put money into a meaningful children's ministry here at Walnut Grove. So we need to get some action activity done on that. So next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Kevin?
The transition committee will meet tomorrow at 6.
Transition committee tomorrow at 6.
I feel like that is the next and the last meeting. We need one more, and then we'll have things to present to the council.
All right. So that's probably an October council meeting.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right, we are going to, as we've said all along, there will be a moment when we officially renew our vows. There will actually be new vows for those coming into the Global Methodist Church. So we will all be at a one-time, one-moment opportunity to do that. And there are also a number of families and couples who want to unite with the church, and we'll be doing that as well. Want to let you know, too, that a number of folks have inquired about baptism. And if you have recently received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and we have talked about that, then I want you to see me specifically to schedule time for baptism. Some, you know, have been going down the river, and I like that a lot, but I have to plan and put on my bathing suit. So let's get together on that. We, you know, Methodists, we find three scriptural ways of baptism: through sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. So if you want to exercise any of those opportunities, you can let me know. But this is a fresh thought, so here I go. The speaker we were retaining for our homecoming had to decline for a conflict, and so maybe we'll just all join up at our homecoming, you know. Be prepared for several weeks of rolling membership vows and professions of faith. We have a number of people who desire to make a public first-time profession of faith, and so it should be an exciting time for all of us. Inel is going to be leading the Christ-like Teacher series.
And the horns are on the piano. You can cut the bottom off if you want and give it to me with your registration fee. And usually we give all the money to Becky, but Becky's got so much to do. You can give it to me and I will retain it for you and keep a list. But I'm really excited about this opportunity to share with you guys. And we do have other churches that are going to be participating. And so it's an opportunity for not only our church, but the whole community. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're all going to learn.
I just strongly encourage, even if you think you might want to teach at some point, to participate by registering. We are going to have other churches involved.
So you don't even have to pay. If you just want to come and listen and take your own notes, I'm fine with that. Because it's about sharing the Word of God and expanding His kingdom.
I have always paid for the cheap notes.
Well, I tell you what, if you want the syllabus, you got to pay me for it. But if you just want to come and fellowship and learn and take your own notes or just sit and listen, I'm fine with that. Just come.
No, the Lord was just talking to me for a minute. I was trying to make sure if that was Hebrew or Greek. No, I'm just kidding. Ha ha ha! He did get my attention though. Any other announcements?
Next Sunday will be
third Sunday.
Woodruff Soup.
All right, so Woodruff Soup Kitchen. Remember to bring your food or your money donations to support that. Okay. Let's make time for the offering. Let's have the ushers come forward.
Who you are, what you have done for us, what you are doing right now, and what you're going to do. We believe that with all expectation. Today we bring the first fruits, your tithe and your offering, to set it upon your altar, giving thanks to you. May it bless you, Lord, may it be pleasing to you. Most important, may it advance your kingdom through the body of your church. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we are changing the scripture today, so we'll be reading from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 35 to the end of the chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." My God, can you let people do that?
Exactly.
And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, this is great, "Grant us to sit, one at the right hand and one at the left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism for which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. They came to Jericho, and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. First word, the last word,
the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's present our offering to the Lord.
Praise God from blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.
All right, we can let the children go who want to go to children's time with Inel. Whoa, that's a bunch. She might need some reinforcement along the way. Or brain surgery. All right, now. Don't make me come down there and make you behave. All right. Well, I do apologize for any confusion that may cause to change things up, but I'm not apologizing for being open to the Spirit of God. And this is not a story that you've not heard before. You also probably might remember that it's one of my very favorite passages of Jesus' ministry to others, how he engaged with people. I'm feeling today sort of a contrast between the spirit of religion and the religious people's way of dealing with Jesus and with the simple, uncomplicated ways of people who need Jesus the most. And so with that word, let's just ask, Holy Spirit, come, fill this word at your direction with your words. And Lord, where the human voice fails, we know that you will speak with us in our hearts and minds, through our spirit. That is the primary work here today, to reach each one of us, especially those who feel that they cannot hear or receive you today. We thank you for the miracle of your speech. In Jesus' name, amen. James and John, two fiery individuals, two disciples, a young full of vinegar and whatever else you might add with that, some phrases. Very excitable people, and people I'm sure Jesus loved to be around. I'm sure they made life interesting on the road. I'm sure it made for some interesting campfire experiences. Now, a lot of you don't like to hear that Jesus had experiences outside the Bible. I'm sorry for you. Jesus had a lot of experiences with his disciples in private that you know nothing about. I don't think God wants us to dwell on those things, but I do think he wants us to see into that and realize Jesus lived life with his disciples. And so as in that living of life, he knew how to handle these two. And they came to him one day and decided they'd get the upper hand on the other disciples and said, "Lord, we want you to do whatever we ask you to do." And like Jim said, that is a loaded question. But just think of all the different ways religion asks Jesus to do what we want him to do. Right? Especially when it involves putting other people in their place. Or keeping other people down and out. We ask Jesus to look at our sin with a different lens than he looks at other people's sin. We ask him to hit us with a pillow while he hits everyone else with a brick. And these two were due for their walloping by Jesus. He said, "We want to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in glory." And Jesus said to him, "You don't have any idea what you're asking. Those places are reserved by the Father, you know. And there's certain costs involved. Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink?" "Oh yeah, Lord, we got that. We got that." And he said, "Okay, you will drink the cup I drink. But it's not my place to say you can sit at my right or my left. Those places have been reserved for a long, long time by others who drink the cup I'm talking about." Of course, the other disciples... I have been standing around when these kind of conversations went. And you just look at each other and go, "What in the..." They're going, "These guys are trying to lord it over all the rest of us." Jesus noticed that and he rebuked them and said, you religious dudes who used to be just fishermen and tax collectors, you ultimate authorities on religion because you now walk with the king, when you once were just regular folks. The worldlings decide who will lord it over the people. They struggle to become great among other people. They struggle. They're the ones who struggle for position and power. But whoever wants to be great among you has to be what? A servant. You must become a servant. And whoever wishes to be first must be a slave of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I was just speaking with someone earlier this morning and realized we get to a point in our religious experience where we tend to forget that we were purchased with an ultimate price. An extreme ransom has been paid for your deliverance. And, the most frequent word in Christian's mouth is, "I'm a good person. I try to be a good person," as if we're still trying to earn something or take it out of Jesus' hands to be our Redeemer. The fact is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is only one price to be paid by one Redeemer. And Jesus has paid it. The religious people get us into a lot of trouble, don't they? It says in the next breath, they came to Jericho. And these religious disciples of his, these religious experts who'd been with Jesus all of almost 3 years, That's how long they make you go to seminary, by the way. You go to seminary, you're a religious expert if you click 3 years. Click. These religious experts were traveling with Jesus down the road. A large crowd was following, as usual. And a Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, sat on the side of the road. And he began to shout out. Now, this makes religious people nervous when somebody starts shouting, right? Somebody stands up on the back row and says, "Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody in front goes down. And they urged him, ordered him to be quiet. I remember in my last appointment, one Sunday morning, a guy came and just attached himself to the altar rail and prayed for an uncomfortably long amount of time with an uncomfortable amount of sobbing and heaving. And after a while, his family just couldn't take it anymore, so they came down to try to drag him away. And you ought to have seen the scuffle that ensued with his hands wrapped tightly around those spindles. And yes, I know some of them are upside down. Spend the rest of the service staring at that. Trying to get him off of that altar rail because their family humiliation was almost complete. Our religious sensibilities are easily offended, even when it comes to the salvation of family members. Jesus stood still. He said, "Call him over here." And the disciples get really pliant when Jesus says something like that. They go, "Oh boy, we get to play religion now. Jesus is going to do something crazy." So they go over there and they say, "Hey, lucky man, guess what? Take heart. Jesus is calling you. Come over here where we do this stuff." And Jesus says in verse 51... the very same thing he says in verse 36. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus stands before us this morning with one question: "What do you want me to do for you?" And here's what the religious guy said: "Give us a place of honor." Here's what the guy who was broken beyond any possible hope of having status or standing of any kind, a guy who had his life ruined for him by circumstance, Jesus asked one question of both parties: "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Teacher, let me see again." My version says again. This man had been able to see. This man understood and remembered the sights of life. He had not lived in a life of a total dark vacuum. Some unfortunate tragedy had struck. That's the other thing that bothers me as a religious person. Asking Jesus to do what I know is impossible. The one thing Jesus waits to hear from me, I can't form the words for. "Lord, I want you to do the impossible thing." John Grizzle's in the hospital. I didn't realize how much vicarious faith I'd placed in John. Or, you know, the witnessing that he does, the people he leads to Christ. I listened to quite a bit of slander against John for a time. I listened to some well-deserved criticism. because John's about as rough as a cob some of the time. Say it in front of his daughter, I'm sorry, but she knows. John does what a lot of us don't do. He asks people, do they know Jesus? But it's not a question that people receive in an ill manner, because he tells them what Jesus has done for him. I was a slave to alcohol, and this is what happened to me. I was a slave to this or that sin, the impossible thing, the impossible crevasse of pain in my life. You do know that your besetting sin is not the real issue, right? Jesus knows your sin. He knows everybody else knows it too. It's funny how often we know our sin, but we don't believe anybody else can see it. And worse yet, we think it doesn't hurt anybody else. I'm sinning, Lord, but at least it's just me going down. We know that, and some of you religious types are puzzled right now, but I'll just tell you, it's not about that sin. It's about that giant empty hole that you keep sinning to try to fill. The sensuousness of trying to fill this. And now this ties back into my sermon I had, so I guess I'll jump back on that track. Sometimes, what was the title of the sermon? Fiery rage or raging fire? All right. And so sometimes we just become so enraged over our lack. We become so bitter over our pain that we sin, and sin a lot. We've become so good at passionately sinning, at living in the flesh, that we give up hope of ever being whole and therefore sinless. Now, John Wesley believed you could live above your sin. To break the power of canceled sin. The sin that was canceled at Calvary. And the penalty is broken. And the power of sin over you has been demolished. But there's that underlying pain and anger, driving us in further and further into sin. Now, for this Bartimaeus, his pain was located around, and maybe it was the physical blindness, but what if it was the pain of being blind? What if it was the pain of loss of sight? What if it was a bitterness that said, I used to could see. Everyone else still sees. Why don't I still see? And can you imagine the festering pain? And life throws that at people, doesn't it? People don't just fall into all kinds of sin because they, well, sometimes they want to, but a lot of times it's because of a trauma. Unremitting pain in life. Pain that won't let up. And they need to be healed. But to come back to what I was saying, it's just that unbelief that God could ever do it. Adding to despair, adding to a sense of loss, we begin to sink further and further into darkness. Our memory of the light fades. We consign ourselves to a life of self-pity and darkness. And then Jesus comes along the road. And we hear a big tumult, a big turmoil as people come along the road with him, and hope jumps into our heart. And suddenly, words are forming in our mouth, and we're saying the thing we thought we could never bring ourselves to say. Have mercy on me. And Jesus puts the question, what do you want me to do for you? Well, I would like to have a better seat at functions. I'd like to have a better handicap area and access. And really, Lord, if you put some... Yeah. Well, really... can you articulate this morning what you really want Jesus to do? Not the surface things, not the things you think are the sin, not the things you think God is judging you over. Well, what about the trauma and the pain and the hole of hurt, the empty gaping place where you pour all of those things? What about that hole that you think is impossible to heal? What about one time trusting God to do something no one else will ever do? The religious people will fill that gap with, I'd like a seat of privilege. I'd like a seat of favor. The desperate will say, I want to see. I want you to touch me. Jesus, I want you to touch me right now. I don't care who's looking. I don't care who sees. I don't care what they say. If you touch me now, I know I will be healed. And that's where the faith jumps into gear. Well, the religious crowd, the disciples who were former fishermen, tax collectors, and general vagabonds, they just kept going along the road with Jesus. And that's us. We need to put ourselves in that position this morning, that we just go along. We've become religious professionals, forgetting where we've been, forgetting the time when we cried out to Christ, Lord, there's no one lower than me today. Rescue me. And that's what salvation is. The word sozo means healing. It means rescue. Well, so at the moment we put the question. We can have the haves and the haves not. We just divide. I'll give you all a minute to choose sides of the church. And we'll have Jesus just come and stand right here and ask this group, what is it you want me to do for you? And then we'll have him go down the road 20 verses and ask this crowd what it wants Jesus to do. Just in the short span of those verses, he asked two times, what do you want me to do for you? Hear me today, because Jesus went to a lot of trouble to change this message today. For you, what is it? The unspeakable, unspoken thing that you really want Jesus to do. It's even a point of resentment, because you start to resent God. You say, I would ask if I could, but I can't, so I'm just angry at God. This is the way it's going to be. Here's what Jesus can do. He can heal the blind. He can give the deaf back their hearing. He can cause the lame to leap, and he can raise the dead to life again. And he can give me new life. And he can give you new life. But what he can't make you do is keep it. Dust it off. Find it. Remember what Christ has done for you, so that when the blind beggar comes calling, you can dare to believe with the disciples. John Grizzle may not have his health restored. I've been thinking and wrestling with that because I have pinned a lot of hopes on one person's wagon. Jesus is going to have to sort that out for me. But you know, I had other people I put a lot of hope in. Marion Finch, Lois Johnson, on and on, Frank Seeley. But I have seen the glory of God in those lives. But if John or Marion or Lois or whoever would say to you today, look, don't hang your faith on my neck. I don't deserve that. What I want to be is a stepping stone. Here, step on my shoulders. Step on me to see. That's what they'd say. I was telling the Lord this morning, God, I sure am going to have to, I'm going to hate to eat that sandwich. When I take back all that stuff I thought you did and said. The promises I thought were being made. The hope of people being delivered from the addiction to alcohol and drugs. But you know what? God is always tapping us to do those things. Not to keep pointing at the people who once did it, but to be inspired to take up that mantle, to hear a call from God, and march off in that same direction, share. But as religious professionals today, I feel a need to remind you that never forget the presenting thing you see is never the thing Jesus needs to touch. There's always some deep, giant, yawning, gaping hole, and that's where Jesus needs to reach. And so if you're the person today that this is for, and you say, but I am so broken, that's not an excuse. Today Jesus is beckoning you in a moment of extreme display of power. He will rescue you. He will close that crevasse. He will fill your yearning and your longing with hope and fullness of life and days. He will restore you. And what many of us used to remember, but now we forget, is that he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. There is no need for you to go walking around carrying sin that he already forgot about. He already paid for it, he took it, and he erased it away. And you are free. Today you are free. Who will respond to that invitation? I ask you to consider Jesus asking you today, what do you want me to do for you? And dare to tell him the truth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to have the Hormies are going to come and play. Briefly, we'll have ministry time here at this altar. This is a place to come, and it's very public. But if you have business with the Lord, there's something about making it public. Some people will look at the back of your head, but most people are going to begin to pray for you. And so just ask you, if you have business with God, to come up here. If you want to receive Christ into your heart as your Savior, it's a simple transaction, but it's the hardest thing in the world to do. To get your heart around all that love is very tough. You have to be willing to let him fill in the holes and smooth out the rough places. So if you're willing to do that today, come to the altar. There'll be other people here. Nobody will know what you're up to. lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. I've learned to be content with leading horses. All right, our final hymn is A Charge to Keep I Have. 413. Let's stand as we sing. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of us.